Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Hit us up there, and I'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come here in about an hour from now, Jared Hudson. He's a candidate for United States Senate. We'll hear from him. Getting these guys in, this is it is the go time, if you will, for the primary coming up on Tuesday. Joining us now, speaking of the primary, he's an opponent, but our returning champion here a day early with us, State Senator Chris Elliott joins us. Senator, how are you?
And I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on every week so that it's not just primary time when we get to talk like so many of these other folks, but I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like pulling teeth to get people to come on, but man, they want to be on every day and during election season.
Well, I like to think we've got a little bit more depth than that. So we're here year round.
And like I said, we appreciate that. Well, we'll start with the campaign. How do you feel? And this will be it with you and I guess, until people go to vote.
That's right. Next time we will be past the primary election on Tuesday, and so I'm looking forward to running through the tape. I'm really happy with the campaign that we've run. Certainly a positive campaign focused on relationships and accomplishments and a real demonstrable record of success. But with a lot of energy, right, and activity at the same time. And so we've been able to certainly get out and meet a lot of people. I think just the day before yesterday, I posted that we will have knocked on over 20,000 doors in the district by the time this is all over with. And just met people where they are, talked to them about their concerns, listened to what they're interested in, talked to them about what we've done, defended our record, and explained what we're going to do next. And so I'm really happy with the energy and momentum that we've got going into Tuesday.
Well, let me start on this. Governor calling a special election now for August the 11th, qualifying May 20th through the 22nd. Is this what we kind of expected?
It is. That's why the legislature went back into special session to accommodate what we anticipated was going to be a Supreme Court ruling in the Calais case and how it applied to Alabama's maps. I heard part of your interview with Coach earlier, where he was certainly very supportive of what the legislature did and the actions that we took. And I certainly appreciate him saying that. Look, it was a tough special session. I mean, you saw a video of me trying to pass the bill, in the middle of an evacuation, a tornado warning, the fire alarms going off, flooding and protests and everything else. And so it was certainly a stressful special session, but I think it's impactful because it's going to change, how many Republicans we have in Congress. And we have seen over the last 2 years just how important it is to have just one more member or just two more members in the Republican Party in Congress, and how impactful that is for our country as a whole and the direction in which it's headed. And so I'm pleased to have, carried some of that legislation, got it across the line, and see it go to effect.
Well, let's talk about the special election. Right the day after the primary is qualifying time. I mean, I feel like it's going to be a free-for-all. I think these guys who have been campaigning for AL1, who are running in AL1 and AL2, will have a built-in advantage just by longevity. But I suspect crowded fields. And I wonder, would we see some of your colleagues run from the legislature for these seats, even though they're up on the ballot in November?
Well, it's certainly a unique situation. There's no question about that. And so you've got four congressional races across the state that will be participating in this short special election with what's commonly referred to as a jungle primary, right, where there's no runoff in the primary on August 11th. And so, you may very well see House members or senators or commissioners that are on the ballot right now that have been advertising and out and about and asking for folks' vote. that take, you know, this is an opportunity to run for Congress, because it's a whole new election. It just starting right there, you know, with qualifying on the Wednesday after the primary, only a 3-day period to qualify, and then, you know, literally back off to the races. And so I know, you know, I've talked with some of my colleagues around the state, you know, there, some of them may be looking at that, may decide to do that, may not. We'll have to see what happens, and we'll know, you know, probably this time next week if some of them decide to do that. And so it'll be very interesting to see how that works out.
And you feel good about it, you know, the time window it gives. I guess the one built-in advantage not to doing it right away is it gives some of these legal proceedings time to take place, or need to take place.
It does. And so, you know, we've had the time, not too much time and not a lot of time, but enough time for all of this to kind of move through the process, to get through the primary election, get into the new, you know, special election cycle. And then, of course, we, the legislature, built in enough time, and the governor in her called special election with the August 11th election left enough time for, you know, for what needs to happen on the back end, whether that's printing ballots for a general election and any party action to take place. And so there is enough time. It's not way too much time, but it's enough.
Let's talk about this. And, you know, we are inundated with these mailers, and a lot of them have your face on them. I'm sure around the state, they're getting their fair share. This sports betting stuff, ACF, American Conservative Fund, just inundating mailboxes with these mailers, and sometimes even to the chagrin of the candidate that they're supporting. We know Pro Tem Gudger kind of came out, spoke out against it, said that this is not something that I, you know, the way I want to present myself to the voters. So you've had your fair share of these sent out. What's your take on those?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the shortest answer is I just shared the Pro Tem's thought on my Facebook page. I mean, I think he said it perfectly. And that was, you said chagrin, I'll say frustrated. I mean, it's very frustrating as a candidate to have some outside interest group hijack your message and overwhelm the message that you're trying to put out, right? If you see the mailers, I think it's four of them that we've sent out total, are all about, you know, what we've accomplished, specifics on, you know, legislative priorities and what we've been able to accomplish in our time in office. And then you see these other mailers, sometimes two or three I got four the other day in my mailbox that obviously I've never seen before, never approved, have no approval process over. But it just seems gratuitous and wasteful, and it's certainly not the type of message that I want to portray. But Jeff, you know, when I take a step back and say, why is this happening? Why are people that I may not necessarily be aligned with, and I think my voting record speaks for that, why are they spending this money in my race or another race? And honestly, when I take a step back, Jeff, I think this is that particular special interest group trying to flex for the next quadrennium and show members just how much money they have and how much they're willing to spend in a legislative race to try to influence future votes, as opposed to try to say thank you or whatever for some particular vote, because that's not consistent with how I voted in the past. And so I think that's what's happening now. This is messaging to the other members of the legislature that may or may not have opposition, to try to show them just how much money they have and how much money they will spend, whether it's efficient or not. And it's very frustrating to those of us who are candidates who are trying to closely craft and market our message.
Well, tell me this. I mean, are they flouting the laws, your opponent and a bunch of others who are on the receiving end or the other end of this are complaining they're not filing properly? And I'm not an expert on the laws, but are they playing a little fast and loose here?
They very well may be. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of candidates in this election cycle that I've seen that are not filing their campaign finance reports correctly and are not doing it correctly. And I've seen a lot of that in my race too. But there will be a time where all of that gets fleshed out. And listen, I think that group, you know, that's not I will say benefiting. I'm not sure if it's a benefit or not, but not seeing flyers put out in their races, or, you know, they're like, no, I want that. I think these guys are, you know, doing something illegal. Well, investigate, absolutely investigate. And I think they should. And I think, you know, the Secretary of State and the Ethics Commission should look into whether or not they're doing it right or not. And certainly we always want to uphold the law one way or the other. But from a candidate standpoint, it is so incredibly frustrating to really lose control of your message. And that goes to these text messages and phone calls and all of these other things. And so I would just encourage voters, you know, listen, you listen to me every week on the show. You know, you see me in church, you see me in the Publix and, you know, shopping, and I've got a record a mile long, you know, vote for somebody that's got a record and a proven track record of doing something. Vote for them based on that, not based on whether or not you got too many mailers from somebody that, you know, that the candidate had no control over.
Well, tell me this, since this is the topic at hand, I mean, where are you on sports betting as it pertains to the entirety of the gambling question?
Well, look, the last vote I took was against gaming in Alabama, because the bill that was before me was way too broad, and it didn't just expand gaming, it expanded government, and that is something that I don't think we need to do. Do I think the people ought to have the right to vote on, or the ability to vote on, a lottery? Yes. Once we get further than that, the devil really is in the details. I want to make sure we absolutely do not expand casinos in the state of Alabama. Am I in a position where I may be okay with them staying in a very constricted space where they currently exist by local constitutional amendment? Yeah, maybe so. One of the things that concerns me about sports betting right now is that it is effectively going on in the state of Alabama right now. It's just illegal. And so anybody with a phone and a VPN can be betting overseas, you know, right now. And that is an incredibly frustrating thing that we need to get control over. How we do that and what that looks like, I haven't seen the perfect solution yet. And so that's why, you know, it's always so much more complicated than just, you know, put it on the ballot for folks to vote on it. And one of the reasons I voted against the last bill.
Well, and talk about this. I mean, yes, we have it going on, and I know people who bet. They know all the workarounds, but it changes things. Not necessarily that, yeah, if you want to gamble, you're going to gamble, but when you put that state seal of approval on it, when the state has the incentive because they're collecting revenue, or tax revenue, or whatever, they're cut, then there's the incentive for them to encourage it. And I don't know that the state necessarily should be doing that, just given all the other like social concerns we have around Alabama.
You are exactly right. It's no different than the state encouraging this, you know, the consumption of liquor or cigarettes, all of which we put our state, you know, tax stamp and seal on. Heck, the state's in the liquor business, right? And so the question for voters and for legislators is, does the state need to be in the gambling business, which absolutely preys, there's no other way to put it, preys on those that are, you know, less fortunate. I mean, the folks that typically gamble the most are in a lower socioeconomic bracket than those that don't. And so it is a serious tax on those folks, and oftentimes can lead to disastrous results. And I think that, you know, if and when any of this comes up for a vote, that's something that the voters are going to have to look really hard and long at as to whether or not that's something that we want in the state of Alabama. And it's why it's so important to make sure you get the details right. Right. And honestly, I think it's really instructive, too, to look at just how much money is getting thrown around right now and whether or not we want to make that a permanent institution, a permanent situation in the state of Alabama and in our state house races.
Well, let's address one more thing on this. And this is the rumor mill going on in the hallways during the special session. But if the primaries don't go the way the pro-gambling crowd, whoever that is, the members of the House and some of these, you know, third parties, and they get some anti-gambling lawmakers that really cloud the future in the new legislature starting next year, would Ivey look at a special session to go ahead and try to do something before the new legislature comes in before the general election and before the new governor comes in?
I do not see any appetite whatsoever for yet another special session on this topic or any other. We just got out of our 10th special session in, or as Chris Pringle calls them, the extraordinary session in 10 years. And I don't see any appetite for that moving forward. Listen, Coach is going to come in with a whole new perspective on this. We'll see what the new slate of legislators look like. It will upset the apple cart, you know, reset the table, if you will, and this debate will start over entirely again with a new governor and new legislators in both the House and Senate. And so we'll just have to see, you know, how that plays out. But I do not see any appetite for a special session.
And the last question we'll get you out of here on this, kind of looking at the elections coming up on Tuesday, aside from your race, the others, your colleagues, I mean, Is there any anticipation that we would see, I don't think there'll be a wave or any anti-incumbent insurgency, but there may be one or two surprises is kind of the way I'm looking at it.
There may be, you know, we've got some retirements in the Senate with some folks that are not coming back, and so those will be new faces. And listen, in a body of 35, you know, 2 to 5 member change can be a sea change, especially on issues like gaming. And so we'll have to see, you know, there are some races that are contested that are closer than others. Fortunately, I don't feel like mine's one of them, but there are others. And so we'll have to see how those play out. But we know we're going to have 2 new members. And then we'll have to see, you know, whether or not any of these other make changes. And so we'll be watching those close on Tuesday. And then we'll be watching Wednesday and Thursday and Friday carefully to see, you know, who, if anybody, gets into these congressional races and how that changes those races and how that shakes that up.
Senator, we always appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds great. Everybody make sure to go vote.
All right. Our state senator, Chris Elliott, there, our returning champion, I should say. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all